Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Demonic Forest, a conversation with DC O'Rourke. When you receive a message of hope for your future from a deceased grandfather at a very young age, it sparks an interest in the paranormal. At least it did for DC O'Rourke. In the years that would follow, he'd find himself being drawn to a patch of woods that one would call demonic, visiting time and time again trying to find answers. This would only be the start of his adventures and exploration into the paranormal. Today he shares his story on The Grave Talks.
So we can definitely go back to my childhood. I was incredibly close with my mom's dad, my grandfather, while I was growing up. He was almost like a parent to me. And he ended up having a heart attack 2 days before my 13th birthday and passed away, which devastated me. Simply no words for it. But I remember shortly after this funeral, I awoke in a dream, but I could tell it was more than a dream, if that makes sense at all. Mm-hmm. I was in a very bright room. The walls were white. The light was practically blinding. And the room seemed like it went on forever. And here I am walking around in this room going, okay, why am I here? Because this is more than a dream. I could feel it. And all of a sudden I heard a voice call out to me at the very end of the room, and it sounded familiar, so I started walking toward it. And soon enough, I got to this person, and it turned out to be my grandfather, who was sitting on this, what I can only begin to describe as a throne of sorts. It was completely white. He was sitting upon it in a white suit, and he looked very youthful, big smile on his face. And he said, come over here, I need to talk to you. And I went over and he said, look, I didn't get the chance to say goodbye. I just wanted you to know how much I love you, and I hope you have a good life. And he said, be good, which was something he always said to me. And 2 seconds later, I woke up feeling like I was still there, but I was back to reality within the comforts of my own bedroom. And I cried my eyes out about it. Went and woke my mom up, told her. She said, you're upset. Your grandfather died. Your mind's playing tricks on you. Go back to sleep. And I told anyone and everyone who would listen, told the local reverend at my church. And finally, it got down to telling my grandmother about it. And she said, that's very interesting. You had that dream because you were actually the last person that your grandfather asked about before he had his heart attack.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, to this day, I'm more than certain he visited me, and I've had multiple dreams like that throughout the years.
Did any of your family or friends accept it as more than just a dream, or has it been mainly you who's just kind of accepted it as being, more than what it was, or more than what others would think it was?
There were a few friends of mine that accepted it for what it was, mm-hmm. but mainly at the time, being I was a child, any adult with a rational mind was like, oh, no. Don't get talking about ghosts and stuff like that. Tried to kind of brush it off. But I know.
So you have this experience, and it's mind bending to kind of contemplate this whole idea of, did I can communicate with someone who was deceased? As you kind of grew older and that thought kind of simmered with you longer and longer, What did that do for your kind of understanding or interest into the world of ghosts and paranormal beyond your grandfather and the idea of a loved one that came back to give you a message?
So pretty much what it all boiled down to was I would go to the public library a lot as a young teenager, and I would just spend hours and hours in the archives and, you know, in various books, absorbing folklore and different bits of information that I could pick up on about the paranormal and the afterlife and, you know, deceased family members coming back to visit you. And then soon enough, the opportunity came knocking at my door, and I went, I guess you could say, ghost hunting for the very first time, and had another mind-altering experience that definitely paved the way for the rest of my paranormal career, I guess you could say.
What happened?
So where I grew up, a little place called Matthews County, it's actually in Virginia, one of the smallest counties in Virginia. Deep within Matthews, there's a haunted patch of woods called Old House Woods. And this is the ultimate place to go looking for ghosts. It's supposed to be haunted by pirates and British redcoats, witches, headless animals. I mean, you know, take any good Edgar Allan Poe story, mix it with Robert Louis Stevenson, and boom, you've got it. And a friend of mine asked me to go with him ghost hunting one night. I said, you know, buddy, I've never done this before, but I'm completely interested. And he said, well, you know, just keep an open mind. I've got flashlights and audio recorders and stuff like that. You know, I'll show you the ropes. And I was like, okay, all right. No idea what to expect. Mm-hmm. But the moment he took me into the woods, you know, we drove through the center of the woods in his vehicle, and I could feel the energy of the place right away. You know, it made my skin crawl almost. It was very electrifying, and it put me on edge. And after a few moments, we got to the end of this dirt road, and we turned around and started coming back out. All of a sudden, he pulled over to the side and encouraged me to get out. And I said, really, you want me to get out in the middle of the woods? You know, what's going on here? Are you trying to kill me? And he, you know, joking with him, of course. He said, no, he, just trust me. And we got out, and next thing I know, he's sitting in the middle of the road, and he's telling me he's going to attempt astral projection. And I said, okay, I've heard bits and pieces about astral projection, but I'm not fully familiar. He sat there and explained it to me. He said, I'm basically going to try and get my spirit to leave my body so I can go out and interact with the spirits that dwell here within this woods. Mm-hmm. If you see anything, I need you to kind of be my lifeline and pull me back to reality. And all I'm thinking is, okay, this is a bad idea. You know, this is how every good horror movie starts. But we sat there probably for about 10-15 minutes. I remember the moon was coming down above us. The wind was blowing through the pine trees, which, you know, would smack up against each other. That sound in itself, it was quite terrifying. And all of a sudden, I see what looks like somebody moving through the woods. And I can even hear the foliage being pushed around and whatnot. And my eyes adjust as best as they possibly can. And I can see physical arms grabbing branches, pushing them to the side. And right then my heart started thumping because I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I could clearly see somebody coming through the woods toward us. And a few seconds later, whoever it was came out, but they weren't in a physical form. What came out of the woods was this, the best way I can put it is it's like a black cloud of vapor. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came out of the woods and settled on the road just several feet away from where me and my friend were. And I stood there transfixed watching this. And a few seconds later, it kind of transformed, and there was a very distinct shadowy figure of a man standing there in its place. And I could easily see a tricorn hat in the outline of what looked like a long flowing overcoat. And he kind of had his arms out like, you know, he was preparing to get into a duel or something. And I, the very distinct impression I got was, it's time to go. I yelled at my friend and I said, Charlie, wake up. Come on, we've got company. And I ran for the car and he woke up and he said, oh man, let's go, let's go. I don't know what that is. We took off to the car. I jumped in first and I hopped in the back seat and I looked out the back window and here he comes, my buddy Charlie. And all of a sudden I see hands grab him by the shoulder and throw him against the back of the car. And a struggle ensues. He's screaming, begging for me to get out and defend him. And I'm like, man, I have no idea what's going on here. you know, come on, let's go. I can't do this. And I see him throw a punch. And then he jumps in the car completely out of breath. His shirt's pretty much been ripped off of his body. And he starts up the car and we drive away. The last thing I did, and that I can clearly recall, was I turned around and I looked out the back windshield of the car, and the shadowy figure of a man in the tricorn hat and the long plaid overcoat, he was chasing after the car, and he was actually keeping up with it, which just totally blew my mind. But he was more visible now, and you could actually see more details. You could tell he was essentially dressed like a pirate for the most part. By the looks of it, I was guessing probably 17th century. Clothes were very raggedy, worn looking. I could see a necklace around his neck and everything. And he was illuminated by the light of the moon. After, I guess, a good minute or so, he finally gave up and stopped chasing us. And that's when I saw six more men dressed very similarly to him show up standing all around him.
Do you believe, or let's just talk about how this occurred. Do you think your friend essentially conjured up this experience to happen through him attempting astral projection to begin with?
You know, I've actually pondered that quite a bit over the years because, you know, for something like that to take place, I mean, you know, unless you have an entity that was just waiting, you know, in the shadows for, you know, a couple of schmucks to come along who had this stored up energy, I mean, what else could there be?
Yeah.
You know, I'm more inclined to go with, you know, he was doing something and didn't understand the full repercussions of what could happen.
Yeah.
And conjured this up himself.
Almost like giving energy or a lifeline to something to manifest. If you guys had just been sitting there drinking some beers and talking, do you think the same experience would have happened?
You know, I honestly can't say it would.
Yeah.
Because it would probably be a different story.
Yeah.
For sure. We'd be telling a different story right now.
Now,
you know, I can say that I have spent the night in that woods because after that I did go back and I went looking for answers and I brought a group of six people with me. We obtained permission to spend the night in the woods. And I remember we had dinner late that evening. We had a big pot of stew. We were sitting around the fire and, you know, we hadn't seen anything or heard anything the entire time we were there. We stayed up incredibly late talking and eating and whatnot. And I remember as I got into my tent, I was lying down, I was looking out into the woods and I saw what looked like seven people walking toward the camp. Mm-hmm. They're far off at a distance, but they were, again, much like these pirates, they were illuminated by the light of the moon. They were blue from head to toe. I could see six rather tall, what looked like possibly adult males, and then a child walking in front of them. Not too long after that, I fell asleep and didn't really think anything else of it. The following morning, I woke up and I was the first one out, you know, into the camp, and my buddies one by one started getting up, and I realized that our pot of stew that we had left out had been toppled over, and the ladle was on the other side of the camp.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.